the Latter-day Saints or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? The Mormons. That's that big church. They all kind of look alike. There's actually some differences on some of them I've seen, but for the most part, they all look like this building, and none of them have a cross on top of the church. So we will discuss all of this tonight. Again, our text verse, we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 3, but we're not going to read the whole chapter again tonight. We are going to concentrate on verses 16 and 17. So if you have your Bible and want to open up to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. And God's word says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you just go back to chapter 2 in verse number 15, it's a common verse, we all know it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You see, God gave us his word through his ministers, and I believe we need to take it seriously. You know, God said it, they wrote it, I believe it, that settles it. It's that simple. A lot of people say, well, you know, we never got an instruction manual for how to live life. That's right. It still does. I was listening to a preacher today on the radio. He's talking about relationships. And mainly talking about young people and, excuse for the young people that are sitting in here, sexual relationships. You see, nowadays it's common for men and women, or young men and women, one, two dates, and they're already in the sack together. And I apologize if that's graphic. But this is the truth. We got churches supporting it. We've got people in our nation that's supporting it. But yet God's word says it's a sin. You see, Isaiah's really quite simple about it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And that's exactly why we're here. So let's go into Latter-day Saints. The Mormon Church, or the Latter-day Saints, was founded by Joseph Smith in 1830. Okay, Joseph Smith was, and here's something that I learned. I went home last week and I actually did some more studying on Charles Taze Russell. He was also a Mason. I want you to see something that as we go through these studies, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and a couple others, you're going to see a lot of their rites and a lot of their rituals are Masons' rituals. And my great-grandfather was a Mason. He was a very top-level Mason, and although he would never talk about it, I did get some of his literature from it. And when I was reading through it, it scared me so much, I actually got rid of it. What I read was Satanism, plain and simple. It was not Christianity. It had nothing to do with God. It had to do with man's desire to be like God or to become a God. And this is what Joseph Smith was trying to do. It was founded in or near Rochester, New York. He named the church the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and it was headquartered in Salt Lake City, or it's headquartered now in Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, Mormons want to be thought of just like every other religion out there as Christian. If you ask someone, and this is why when I approach someone on their spiritual well-being, I don't approach them, hey, are you a Christian? Because everybody's a Christian nowadays. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you're a Christian. If you're a Satanist, they're saying they're a Christian. They can hide under the auspices of being a church for tax purposes. Now, some of our famous people that you might know, and they've gotten to where they've gotten because of the fact that they're Christian. How many of you remember Mitt Romney from a few years ago? He's a Mormon. Ray Combs. Ray Combs was the host for Family Feud for many years, and he later committed suicide because he was finding out things. He just had a bad life. Maybe you guys, many of you that may have watched Little House on the Prairie, Merlin Olsen was a Mormon. The Munsters, Marilyn Munster, Pat Priest was a Mormon. Donnie and Marie, of course, we know that, but Ricky Schroeder, Gladys Knight, Harry Reid himself was a professing Mormon. So we're going on with their writing and literature, but I want you to understand where the Book of Mormon came from and why Joseph Smith started the LDS religion. Okay, one night, Joseph Smith, in my notes, it says, stated the archangel Michael showed him where he could find the golden plates. That was a mistype on my part. That's a typo. It was the archangel Nephi. As a matter of fact, Nephi is a book in the Book of Mormons. Nephi appeared to Joseph while he was sleeping one night. And he says, if you go to this tree, next slide, if you go to this tree, underneath this tree in the roots, back in their woods back there, you're going to find some golden plates. Next slide. And when you dig these golden plates up, you're going to get the answers to a lot of your questions regarding God, regarding the Bible, regarding religion. Understand, before I go any further, religion is man-made. Theology is of God. God is non-confusion. God is not an author of confusion. Man is the author of confusion. Okay? That's what we need to realize. Well, you notice on the plates, and this is a replica that they've come up with of these golden plates. No one's been able to find the originals. It's had a language on there that people don't understand. But we come to find out later that most of it is hieroglyphics from the Egyptians. Yes. So where it came from and why it was buried there, I have no idea. It doesn't matter. What matters is Joseph Smith believes that Nephi told him to go to this tree, dig these up. Well, Joseph Smith couldn't read this. I don't care how intelligent you are. This is a bunch of scribblings to me, unless you are an expert in hieroglyphics and languages, you're never going to understand it. So he supposedly got on his knees and prayed. Well, according to him, another angel was sent. Next slide. The angel Moroni, which is another book in the Book of Mormons. The angel Moroni brought with him what's a set of stones called seer stones. What these stones were is if you prayed a little bit, then God would reveal what this language was and give you the translation. This is what he believed, and this is what he taught. Now, first off, I need to say something here, and I need to stop, okay? If you would, turn in your Bibles to Revelation 22 and verse number 18. Revelation 22 and verse number 18. Because this is an important verse in this. Okay, first off, we need to understand God does not need another testament. He does not need man's help in running this world. God does not need man's help in running his church. God's very clear about it. Understand. And I want to say this before I read this verse, okay? Because I think it needs to be said here. Today, there are hundreds of translations of God's word. All right? Now, with that being said, I want everyone to understand how this comes about. If you, those of you who have taken the FBI course understand that some translations were taken through Thebes and the Egyptian library there, and they added their little things to it. But the Bible was translated out of the Aramaic, the Hebrew, and the Greek from the original text. That's where the 1611 King James Version came from. When the Catholic Church had it back at the beginning of the church age, it was written in the Latin Vulgate. The problem is, most people did not speak Latin. The only people that understood what the Bible said were the priests. And the priests are the only ones that spoke. So when the Reformation came around under Martin Luther and that, they decided they were able to get into where the scrolls were, and they gave us our modern Bible, the 1611, which is written to an eighth grade level. Most Americans can read at the eighth grade level. That's what they say. Now, let's go a step further. Just like Brother Noridian just said or alluded to, they say, well, we can't understand the these and thous and yees and yeas. Guess what? It's real easy. Thee and thou means you. Ye means plural yous. Okay? Yous guys. If we were back in New York, you'd understand that. Yous guys. Now, my dad was from Atlantic City, New Jersey, and he every so often would revert back to those old words. Yous. Oh, anyways, I'm going down a rabbit trail, and I told Holly I was going to try not to chase rabbits tonight. So, in doing this study, God laid on my heart, well, what about the Bible? Because every religion is rewriting God's word. Well, here's the problem. Thomas Nelson Publishers are the ones who is one of the biggest publishers here in America. They were having declining sales on their Bible. So they came up with an idea. We need to boost our sales a number of years ago. So they said, well, let's take the King James Bible and make a new King James. Now, I've told people in the past, and shame on me, because God revealed this to me as far as I was wrong in doing this. He touched my heart. You know what? Stay with God's word. The 1611 King James Bible is all you need, because the new King James Version was translated off the King James Version, and when they changed some of the words, they changed the context of the passages. Therefore, and then not only that, when they couldn't reason out how to translate a certain passage, they referred to the NIV. Here's the problem with this. You cannot take a non-inspired version. I like that saying, Brother Bill. You introduced that to me, and I hold by it. You cannot take something that's not inspired, add it to God's word, and expect it to still be inspired. It doesn't work that way. It's a contradiction. God's word does not contradict itself. So, if we go to Revelation 22, in verse 18, it says, For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Understand, this book is complete the way it is. It doesn't need anything added to it. It doesn't need anything taken away. It's God's word. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Okay? If I'm not saying if you want to have an NIV or a New King James in your library so you can see what's missing, I got no problem with that. But do not build any study on anything other than the 1611 Bible. Okay? King James did this for a reason. God allowed this and inspired this version. To use anything else is settling for less. So let's move on. So all of this you can find if you were to go to the next slide, Holly, please. If you go to the Mormon book, The Doctrine and Covenants, this has all the authoritative teachings of Mormon prophets and the LDS general authorities. They also get them in one big volume like that, and it comes with other things like the pearls of great price. Doctrines and Covenants. Understand, this teaches or tells of 24 angelic appearances to Joseph Smith. In his words, he tells of 24 different angels that appeared to him. Some of these include Adam, from Adam and Eve, Father Abraham, John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John. As a matter of fact, in this and in the great pearls, or the great pearls of great price, he says that God and Jesus themselves appeared to him while he was out, because he felt he didn't know where this was all going. He didn't know what to do with it. So God and Jesus themselves came to him and said, this is what you're going to do with it, and you're going to start this church. And you're going to spread this church, this truth. No, they didn't. Exactly. The last prophet of the Bible, and he's an angel now. Now, I have yet to find, and I really, if someone knows of it, please tell me, but I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says when we die, we become angels. All of these men that were listed were men that walked on the earth, okay, with the exception of God, but God is in this earth. God created this earth. Okay, so the Mormons also published two magazines, Ensign and Liahona. Liahona is the Asian and Hawaiian version of Ensign magazine. So you know that the LDS Church is worldwide. They also publish another King James Version Bible, corrected by Joseph Smith, because evidently God couldn't do it right, is what they believe. And they look at it as less reliable than the Book of Mormon. So if Joseph Smith, if they themselves believe that the Bible corrected by Joseph Smith is less valuable than the Book of Mormon, what's that tell us about any translation other than the 1611 King James Bible? That just proves the point right there. Today there are translations out there, but there's a feminine translation that has Jesus as a woman, that has God as a woman. It is feminist. That there's, it's hard to believe how many different versions are out there. Stick with the 1611 King James Version. My own brother gets on me about this all the time because I'm always putting down, he likes the NIV, and I tell him, David, you really got to get rid of that Bible and get back to basics. Bill, it doesn't matter what you read. It does matter when a Bible is missing complete passages. We have a problem. That's like saying, God, I trust everything you say except this, because it's not there. I was asked by someone this weekend when we were talking about this, when I mentioned that Joseph Smith believes he was visited by God and Jesus themselves, well, what does God look like? I don't know. Because all I know is that Moses wanted to look on God, and he put him in the cleft of a cliff and put his hand over him, because anyone who looks on God surely dies. We're sinful man. We have no right, or there is no way that we can even coexist with God the way we are. We need Jesus Christ. Their beliefs about God, they believe that God the Father was once man that progressed to his godhood. He has a physical body. This really got to me on this one. He has a physical body, as does his wife, the Heavenly Mother. They believe that God is a spirit, and they worship him and must worship him in spirit and truth. What does John 4:24 say? Well, let's go look at John 4:24. John 4:24. God is a spirit. Okay? They're looking at God as having a physical body. And they worship him that, excuse me, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I had it written down there. I'm misreading my notes. All right? Satan, I rebuke you right now in Jesus' name. You're not welcome in this service. We need to look at God for what God is. He is the creator of all things. He is eternal. He's perfect. We are sinners. Adam and Eve, back in the garden, made a choice. Actually, Eve was tempted. Adam made the choice to join Eve. He could have chosen to obey God. But without temptation, he chose Eve. He didn't want to be lonely. Isn't that interesting of man? We look at things, and man wants to make it their own. Understand, we ourselves are not our own. We belong to God. We live because of God. We breathe because of God. Everything we are is because of God and what God has allowed in our lives. They believe that there is no Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three separate gods. John 14:7 says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. One and two. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. 3. God, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. John 14, 9 through 11. Let's go all the way back to John. John 14, verses 9 through 11. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And finally, let's go to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And I love this one. This is probably one of my favorite things to go to when I'm confronted. If someone has it, go ahead and read it. What better picture of the Trinity and the Godhead than this right here? In front of all the witnesses that were standing on Jordan that day, you had the Son of God coming up out of the water. You had the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove and a voice from heaven saying, This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Understand, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are one person, but they are three distinct people. Understood? Does that make sense? It does to me. I have problems understanding how God can love us so much that he would send his Son to pay our price. We don't deserve this. We are wretched people, but God sent him down for us. So let's move on. Number C, excuse me, worthy members could achieve godhood themselves. Lucifer, if you remember the story, Lucifer thought that he was equal to God. Matthew 4, 9, and saith unto him, All things I will give thee, or all things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Remember, this is Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness. What's the first thing he asked Jesus to do? Fall down and worship him just like he was God. You know, Satan believes his own lies. It's funny, you hear it all the time. You see it with sports people, athletes, football players, baseball players, the like, that are out there making millions of dollars and they believe that they're good enough to make that money. Well, and they want to be put on this pedestal. Well, here's reality. They're no better than you and I. We are all sinners. When it all comes down to it, we're all going to be, if God tarries, we are all going to taste death on this side of eternity. We're going to see the grave. And reality is, you can't take anything into the grave with you. I mean, people have tried. They bury themselves with all their riches, and some of their riches goes into the grave. And here's the sadness. There are religions out there, Confucianism, Buddhism, Islam, many others that believe you can take it with them. They believe that if they pray on this side, like in the Asian world, when someone's buried, you'll see people putting a tuna fish sandwich up there, some fruit, some change, and other things to help them for what they need in the afterlife. That's not how it works. And I get real sad because these people believe you got to jump through all these hoops to get to where you're going. God asks for one thing, and that's to go to the cross and accept his gift, his Son. That's it. All we have to do is be washed in his blood, confess Jesus is Lord with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. That's all we have to do. People make it so hard. Anyways, they believe, that Lucifer believed that he was equal to God. Genesis 3:1 through 7. Genesis 3, back to the very beginning, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Mistake number one, that was a lie. God said, you may not eat of it. He said nothing about touching it. Okay? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Lie number two. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Understand, the reason they had to cover up is because they knew they were guilty. They knew that something bad had just happened. We ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All of a sudden, we got to cover ourselves. I'm naked now. Understand, I mean, think back to when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, when the Holy Spirit convicted you in your sin. Do you remember the emotions that came into your heart? Look, salvation's not a thing of emotion. None of this is about emotions. This is not about feelings. This is about fact. The fact is, we were not born, or we did not choose to be sinners. We were born into it. That fateful day in the garden, a choice was made that affected the lives of everyone for generations to come. And it affected it so much that God had to send someone to pay for that price. And that's his son, Jesus Christ. Now understand, Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. It's just like going out to that nursery, and you come up to a tree, has nothing on it, just branches, it's potted, it's ready to go, but there's a little tag in there that says, it's an apple tree. So you say, well, this looks like it may be a nice tree. You take it home, you plant it, you care for it, you water it, and in a year or two, what do you expect from that tree? You expect apples. That's what we live with. You see, when our seed is planted and we were formed in our mother's wombs, God knew that we were going to be born sinners. From the time Adam and Eve had their first children until where we are today, God knew that we would be nothing but a whole forest of sin trees. And that's why God sent this. The Mormons are believing and would have you believe you can become gods if you qualify, if you're worthy enough. Satan's lie, it's never changed. Genesis 3:5 says, "For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, that then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Guess what? Adam and Eve knew good and evil, and they're still not gods. As a matter of fact, man is so obsessed with becoming God, look at the movies that are out in the theaters today. All these superheroes, what do they call them? Gods. Superman, my favorite superhero, has that S on his chest. That S stands for the house of El. El means God. No matter how hard we try, we cannot be God. We cannot, because we're not perfect enough. And we will never be perfect enough this side of eternity. The closest we'll get is by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Then, when we get in His presence in heaven at the Lord's day, we will finally get righteousness and we'll finally be back to where God had intended for us to be. Imagine this, if you will. What would have happened? They did this sin, and before God got to them, they ate of the tree of life. That's an awesome thing to think about. That means sin would live eternally. That's not in God's plan. God's plan is to give us a chance to go back to the perfect state that we were meant to be in. He's not making us gods. He's making us His children. He's getting us to the point to where we can have fellowship with Him, where we can learn from Him in His presence. We can't do it as we are right now. We just can't be good enough. That's reality. They believe that, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is talking about Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus is the elder brother of all men and spirit beings, including Lucifer. Jesus was not Lucifer's brother. My Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son." That means He had no others, only Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus Christ that our sin debt was paid. "And I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Revelation 19:10. They believe that His physical body was created through a sexual union between God Himself and Mary. Elohim, that's God. The Holy Ghost placed the seed of Jesus in Mary's womb. This, we know this because of what it says in Matthew 1:20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him," talking about Joseph, "in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Understand, God knew what He was doing when He sent the angel to talk with Mary and to talk with Joseph. Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. After the birth of Jesus, she was no longer a virgin, and she holds no holy place. She's still a sinner just like we were, but she was saved by grace. They believe that Jesus was married. There's nowhere in Scripture or any history book that I've found, Josephus, any of them, that states that Jesus was married. Jesus was single His entire life. When He died on the cross, His mother was there. John was there. The other disciples, his friends, weren't there. They were fearful. It's going out, I've heard it said a couple of times or asked a couple of times, when it becomes illegal in the United States, will you still claim Jesus as your personal Savior? Will you still stand for Jesus? I wonder that myself. How many people will actually stand for Jesus, excuse me, that are professing to be Christians today? And I know that sounds judgmental. It's really not. It's a serious question. Think of what Peter did with Jesus. He professed he loved Jesus, but what happened when he was questioned of it? He denied Jesus three times. That's our human nature. We talk tough. We walk around with our chest pumped up and our heads held high. I'm a child of God. And then a little bit of pressure is put on it. You see how many of those chests cave in and those heads drop. It happens all the time today. I've got a big place in my heart and a lot of respect in my heart for missionaries out in this world today, because they're out there doing a tough job. They actually are putting their lives on the line for Jesus Christ. They believe his death on the cross only provides the resurrection for everyone, but does not fully atone for their sins. Remember the thief on the cross. Jesus promised him paradise that very day. Let's go to Mark 15:27, because that's where it's going to say it the best. I love the four Gospels because you get to see four different sides of what's going on. Mark 15:27, and it says, "And with him they crucified two thieves, one on the right, on his right hand, and the other on his left. And scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was in the darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, between 12 and 3 p.m. That's the note I have on there. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, Lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Understand, even the thieves on the cross were mocking Jesus. But something happened to one of those thieves. He realized what was going on. He realized that this man on this cross didn't do anything. All he did was come into this world that the world through him might be saved. And he got on the other thief saying, Why are you doing this? We deserve what we're up here for. Why are you calling him out? He did nothing wrong. And then he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, no, you're a sinner. You can't do it. You got to be baptized. No, he didn't say that. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, that instant when he died, he was going to heaven. Luke 23:43 says, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say to thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Excuse me. I'm in the wrong. 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this say we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these things. Understand, we may not become gods ourselves, but we do get something great out of this. Jesus came and paid the ultimate price. Understand, you see a lot of people say, excuse me, it's going to cost me everything to be Christian. You know what? It doesn't cost you a thing except to surrender your life. Jesus gave his life for us. Being a Christian, yeah, there's sacrifice to it. Being a Christian, yeah, there's hard times. Guess what? No one promised it was going to be a rose garden, that old song. No one ever said it was going to be a rose garden once you accept Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, they believe the Holy Spirit is different from the Holy Ghost. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, John 14, 16 through 18. They believe that the Holy Spirit is not God. He is indeed an influence or electricity like an emanation from God, the light of Christ. This is what they believe. They believe, but understand you can't. Yes, sir. Yes. Everything has to be about Christ. You see, our very lives, this very world revolves around Christ. This very world is God's. Understand, another thing that they believe in is celestial marriage. They have a bunch of secret rituals, if you will. They are ordaining children at the age of 12 and above, boys, to be preachers. The children, if their father thinks that they feel that their son is being led at 12 years old to be a minister for the LDS church, they have a secret ceremony for this, an ordination ceremony that's secret. They have prayer services. And here's what I want you to understand. This is built into the Mormon religion, okay? When they have a prayer service, we come on Wednesday night and we learn about Jesus and learn more about the Bible. Some churches have prayer time during that time. Now, here, I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem when the doors are closed. It becomes a big secret thing. But now they have select people that are wearing certain different special clothes. They circle the table where the main minister is, and spread on this table are the names of all these people that have asked for prayer for illnesses and stuff like that. Now, in order for them to get into it, Chase, come up here a minute. This is how they have to do this. Each person in this circle has to do this. So every one of them have to raise their right hand to the Father. So you would raise your right hand. And this is like 20 of them in a circle. Then they have to put their hand on the shoulder along with their elbow touching down right below their arm. This makes the connection. And this is all the way around in this circle. And then they all repeat, thank you. They all repeat different things. Brother Bill, how do you know this? I watched it. There's on YouTube, there you can find secret rituals inside the Mormon church, secret ceremonies. Their celestial marriage, they believe, the Bible clearly states that all marriages, once we go to heaven, there are no marriages. Okay? They believe that the marriages are eternal, that they will last forever. So that if, for example, Brother Jerry warrants or is worthy to become a god, he's going to get his own universe, and she, Tabitha, becomes the mother of everybody in that universe. This is their belief. If you're worthy enough, you can become a god. They believe in multiple marriages. Now, they'll tell you some depending on which ones you talk to, if you've got the Orthodox LDS, they're the ones that live in polygamy. They believe that Joseph Smith's wife was married not only to Joseph Smith, but to Brigham Young and a couple other of their higher-ups. Okay? But what they won't tell you is that Joseph Smith, actually, his wife brought him up in a court case for wife abuse. They won't tell you that he actually... the reason he was murdered where he was. You see, there are all kinds of things that they're not going to tell you and share with you. When we open our doors are open to anybody that wants to walk in. I've been invited to Mormon weddings, and because I'm not Mormon, I was not allowed to go in. As a matter of fact, while I was stationed at Hill, Utah, Hill Air Force Base in Utah, up here in Ogden, I went to the temple there in Salt Lake City. Beautiful building. I love architecture. And it's a beautiful building. But you go in through this welcome center, and they asked me, you had to write your name and that, and they asked me what religion I was. And you see, I don't believe I have a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They asked me, just like they did in the military, what religion? We got to have something down there, Protestant, Baptist, Catholic, whatever. So I put Baptist, and I told them, Baptist, oh, you're not allowed to go in. This is as far as you get to go. We've got some lovely information for you. They wouldn't let me in because I was Baptist.
Mormon in good standing temple card. Their card carrying.
Yes. Right. That's exactly right. That's right. That's right. You have to be card carrying to get most of their rights. You've got to be a member in good standing to get a lot of their benefits. They don't believe in caffeine, stuff like that. That's why they won't drink. They won't drink soda pop, coffee, tea, any of it. It's you're bringing sin into your body, okay? This is the Mormon religion. This is what Joseph Smith said he found on those golden plates. Well, you know, I got a problem with this because the Bible tells us that we are to partake of these things. As a matter of fact, the Boy Scouts, they are a big supporter of the Boy Scouts in America. You ever wondered why the Boy Scouts became messed up? Girl Scouts as well. They believe on this in the church. There was one, I just had it on my mind. I just thought it must not be important. When you're dealing with a Mormon, the Bible tells us we are not to allow them into our homes. We are not to bid them Godspeed. We, you know, the best we can do is step outside and try and witness to them. And it's hard to do because they are so indoctrinated into their beliefs, if you will. But the problem is that they don't see it, is their religion is nothing compared to what God is. If God is going to send the Holy Spirit to work on that person's heart, he can be brought out of that religion. Real quick on the Islam, I'm going to touch on it real quick so we can move on next week into some other ones that really need to come out. Islam, the nation of Islam, is set after the Muslim faith. They believe that Muhammad founded, if you go through your notes, all the verses are there. Muhammad founded the Muslim religion. They believe that he was the chosen prophet, and that he was raised from the Temple Mount back into heaven. Okay? This is why the Dome of the Rock is up there on top of the Temple Mount. There are three different sects in the United States of Islam. You have the main one, which is standard Muslim practice and beliefs. You have the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam, you might know it by their leader, Louis Farrakhan. It was founded by a person called Wallace Ford. Wallace Ford, he didn't even last 2 years with this. He stepped out and he went disappeared somewhere. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stepped up into his place. He was appointed by Muhammad or by this Wallace Ford. Wallace Ford, he went and disappeared, and about this time, there was two people that under Elijah Muhammad that were being primed to take over should something happen to Elijah Muhammad. That was Louis Farrakhan and another gentleman by the name of Royal Spencer. Both of these guys were primed. Now, many of you might remember Malcolm X. Malcolm X actually was the top one to go, but Malcolm X decided he wanted to get back to the traditional Muslim and work on peace. Elijah Muhammad didn't want that, neither did Farrakhan, so they put their contract out on Malcolm X. Malcolm X was shot by the Nation of Islam and killed. So when Elijah Muhammad died, Farrakhan stepped up into his place because Royal Spencer believed the same way Malcolm X did. So this is where it all gets confusing. Understand, the Nation of Islam believes that the black race is the chosen race, that the Jews are cut off, they are no longer going to be allowed into heaven, that the black race is perfect, and that the white race was made in a laboratory with experiments in cloning that went wrong. Therefore, the black race is superior to the white race. And you guys wonder where all the racism comes in this country. All right? This the Nation of Islam has such followers as the Reverend Al Sharpton and others. Okay? Muhammad Ali was a Nation of Islam. Now, Royal Spencer started the United Nation of Islam in Kansas City. And what he did was he believed that God, or that Allah, has given him the rank of Allah. So he now goes by Royal Allah, or just Allah, okay? They believe that Allah and God are the same. I'm telling you right now, they are not the same. Allah is not God. God is perfect. Allah has some faults and there's confusion. And if you pick up the Quran, you will see that it clearly, and you read it, you will see that it clearly has a thing against the black race. That is a very prejudicial religion. Okay? They believe that, here it goes. I love this part because this is humorous to me. that people can actually believe this and buy this. They believe that when a person dies, excuse me, if a person was to die, if Chase were to die right now, all of us could pray that God, Allah, will give Chase a chance to accept paradise. Now, understand, their paradise is a garden like Eden, and there's 12 virgins waiting for him. He has the choice when he stands before Allah to reject it or accept it. Same goes with the Mormon religion. I want you to understand this. This is why I brought this up, because I got to close with this. Understand, the Mormons right now, I could ask the question, how many of you have ever been prayed over by a Mormon? All of us can lift our hands because they pray for everybody in this country, in this world. They have names. Understand, how many of you have heard of Ancestry.com? That is a Mormon database for all of your ancestors, okay? They are very much into genealogy, and they hold records on everybody's families. I don't know where they get it. Doesn't matter. But this is what they believe. They believe that if they pray for the dead, God will give them the choice to either accept the salvation and go into one of three different heavens, or you refuse it and go into an outer darkness and you're annihilated. This is their belief. Where Joseph Smith got that from the golden tablets. You know, those famed golden tablets. You know what? Understand, this is why at the beginning of the night I said, I don't ask people if they're Christian. They believe that they are every bit as a part of Christianity as we are. Problem is, their Christianity doesn't believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Because after all, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. That's what the word means. At one time, to be a Christian, you were hated. Back when it first started, when that name first came. Now, everybody wants to be considered a Christian. That's why when you approach if you were to die right now, if God were to take it, and you get to those pearly gates, standing outside the gates is Peter or Jesus himself, and they ask, why should I let you in? What are you going to tell them?